This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, Allahu,
Allahu, Allah, Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين. وبعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. During the month of Ramadan, we went on to select those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were related to Ramadan in particular, related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one who listens, the one who hears, the one who answers the du'as, the one who forgives, the one who accepts our repentance, the one who is the most generous, the one who gives, etc. And before the month of Ramadan, we had covered names related to Allah's power and His might. And so I thought we would continue on to three last names related to that before moving on to other names that have other beautiful meanings. And so the three names that were remaining are Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, and Al-Muqtadir. Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, and Al-Muqtadir. And so, all these three names come from the same root word and the attribute of Al-Qudrah, or Allah's ability and Allah's power. As for Al-Qadir, now all three have been mentioned in the Quran. As for Al-Qadir, it has been mentioned 12 times in the Quran. Al-Qadir. Seven of those times it has been mentioned in the singular form. In the singular form. While five times it has been mentioned in the plural form. And so when we say singular, we mean Al-Qadir. And when we say plural, we mean Al-Qadirun. And so, for example, in terms of the singular form, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, verse 65, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. Say that He alone has the power, Al-Qadir, to unleash upon you a punishment from above or below you, or split you into factions fighting one another, and make you taste the violence of one another. So this is the singular form, Al-Qadir, and it has been mentioned seven times. As for the plural form, Al-Qadirun, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 95. That we are indeed able to show you, O Muhammad, what we have threatened them with of punishment. So Allah is able to show the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he has prepared for the disbelievers. He's able to do that. So Allah is informing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is able to do that. Now, what does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself in the plural form? And this is an objection that many times critics of Islam will raise and say, look, your book describes Allah as being plural, as having partners. And so to answer this, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He describes Himself in the plural sense in the Quran, in the Arabic language, you can describe a person in the singular form, and a person can also be described in the plural form. And when a person is described in the plural form, it indicates greatness. It indicates greatness of that person, of that being. And this is not something exclusive to the Arabic language. You have this in many languages. In fact, even in English, it is used, it is called the royal we. And so kings and queens, they use it. When they address their nations, they use we, and it's one person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in the Quran in the plural form as Qadirun, and this is to show His greatness. As for Al-Qadir, this out of the three names, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, and Al-Muqtadir, this is the one that has been mentioned the most in the Quran, Al-Qadir. And so it has been mentioned 45 times in the Quran. It has been mentioned 45 times in the Quran. And most times it has been mentioned as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that He is all powerful over everything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. So throughout the Quran we find this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that He is most capable or most powerful over everything. As for Al-Muqtadir, it has only been mentioned 4 times in the Quran. And so, an example in Surah Al-Qamar, at the very end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ, that indeed the muttaqoon will be amid gardens and rivers. عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مقتدر في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر, at the seat of honor, in the presence of المليك, the most power, the sovereign, المقتدر, the most powerful. So the most powerful sovereign. And المليك is a name that we already covered previously when we talked about those names related to Allah's mulk, المليك, Al-Malik and Al-Malik. So what do these names mean? Obviously they are all related to Allah's Qudra, His power, His ability that has no limit. And so they teach us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete ability, complete power to do what He wills as He pleases. And it is through Allah's Qudra, through His ability and power, that He brought existence into being from nothing. It is through Allah's Qudra that He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, as He tells us. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And if you think that, you know, creating the heavens and the earth will cause some kind of fatigue, then Allah negates that right away. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. No fatigue touched us. And this is because, as the Christians and the Jews claim, that Allah rested on the 7th day. So to refute this claim, Allah right away says, وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And so this affirms this attribute of the Qudra of Allah, that in our sight, meaning according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Qudra of Allah is all-encompassing and it comes with no tiredness, no fatigue whatsoever. It is through the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He perfected all of the creation in the manner that we see it. Wherever you look in the creation of Allah, whether it be in the cosmos, whether it be within yourself as a human being and your different systems that operate in your body, you find a perfect, precise creation that is unmatched. Where does this come from? It comes from the qudra of Allah. It is from the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He not only created us, but then He continuously provides for us and supports His creation. It is through the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that none is able to escape or hide from Him or escape from His grip. It is from the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He brings the creation to an end eventually. And so He gives life and He also takes it away. And then He brings that same life back into being. He brings that same life back into being, and that will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And as Allah Himself mentions, that this second creation or resurrection is, as Allah says, أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. It's even more easier. If you think that that's something impossible, as the mushrikun, throughout the Quran Allah tells us that this is their main objection. They constantly say, أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمُبْعَثُونَ. After we become dust and bones, is it possible that we will be resurrected? Throughout the Quran Allah tells us this objection of theirs. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly explains that He created us from nothing, and logically, creating us or resurrecting us should be easier. This is in human terms, not according to Allah, meaning that for Allah nothing is difficult. Nothing is more easier than another. For Allah it's all the same. For Allah there's nothing more easier or more difficult than another thing. And this again also comes from Allah being Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this to wake up these ignorant mushrikun that look, if you think that this is something difficult, then how about the fact that you came into existence from nothing? That should be more difficult than bringing life back into being after it once existed. Also, these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come from the root word of qadara. And qadr in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means His decree, His predestination, which is one of the six pillars of Iman, belief in Al-Qadr. And the stages that every single creation go through to come into existence from nothing are four stages. From the very beginning and until the time they come into existence, there are four stages. And these four stages are known as Maratib al-Qadr, or the stages of Qadr, that were mentioned by the Salaf and the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They mentioned that the stages of Qadr are four. And so they are Al-Ilm, knowledge, Al-Kitaba, the written decree, Al-Mashi'ah, the will, and Al-Khalq, the creation. So, to to put this into context, these four stages, knowledge, the written decree, the will of Allah, and the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, He had knowledge, so He wrote it down. And obviously when we talk about the knowledge of Allah, we're talking about the pre-eternal knowledge that has no beginning. So Allah knew from the pre-eternal past, and so He wrote down what will happen. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that the first thing that Allah created was a pen, and He commanded it to write. So the pen asked, "What should I write?" So Allah said, "Write everything that will happen until the last day." So Allah knew, then He wrote it down. Then He willed for its creation. He willed for it to be created. So nothing happens outside of the will of Allah. And then He created. And then He brought that thing into existence. So these are the four stages of Qadr: knowledge, the written decree, the will, and the creation. So all three names of Allah, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, and Al-Muqtadir, include these meanings of Qadr, include these four stages of Qadr. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qadir ala kulli shay. He is capable over everything, over that which He does and that which He doesn't do. He is powerful and capable of doing what He does and also of doing that which He doesn't do. So whatever Allah has willed, it must happen without a doubt. Whatever Allah has willed for to happen, it will happen without a doubt. And whatever He does not will, it will never happen. Whatever He has not willed, it will never happen. But notice here, why will it not happen? Will it not happen because He is incapable? No. But rather simply because He didn't will for it to happen. Simply because He did not will for it to happen. So this is how we understand the Qadr of Allah. It has to include these four things. And the will of Allah is one of these four. The will of Allah is one of these four. So Allah has power to do that which He does, that which He wills, and He also has the power to do that which will never happen, but not because of inability, but rather simply because He did not will for it to happen. All of this shows us that Allah is Al-Qadir. That Allah is Al-Qadir. As for what Allah has willed for to happen and written that it must happen. Okay, so now we leave aside that which Allah has not willed for to happen. As for that which Allah has willed that it must happen, then He is Al-Qadir. He is Al-Qadir to make it happen. He is described as being Al-Qadir to make it happen without any difficulty, without anything preventing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from making it to happen. So Allah is Al-Qadir. This is related to His will. He has willed for whatever to happen the way He has willed it. He is Al-Qadir, the most powerful to make it happen. Now when it comes to the time of the creation, when it comes to the point in time when that thing will happen, or that thing will be created, when it comes time for it, Allah is Al-Muqtadir. Allah is Muqtadir, which emphasizes His supreme power to enforce or to enact whatever He has decided at once, without any hesitation, without delay. So now at the time when it will happen, Allah is described as al-muqtadir. And so what we see from all of this is that there's a difference between these three names of Allah in this sense. Otherwise, they all mean the same thing. But if we want to find a subtle difference between these three names, and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every single one of them, have their own exclusive meaning. We can't say that they all mean the same thing. There has to be some difference. And so, Al-Qadir is more profound and more stronger in conveying the Qudra of Allah than Al-Qadir. Al-Qadir is more profound or more stronger, emphasizing the Qudra of Allah than Al-Qadir. And Al-Muqtadir is even stronger than that. Al-Muqtadir is even stronger. What they say in Arabic as being Ablagh, in conveying the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Al-Muqtadir in the context of mentioning his punishment and him seizing the enemies. As he mentions with regards to Fir'aun. And as he mentions in reference to some of the nations of the past that he destroyed, that he would take them, seize them. أَخْذَ عَزِيزٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ أَخْذَ عَزِيزٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. To emphasize that power of Allah, that, you know, they shouldn't think that they have any chance of escaping from the grip of Allah and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, coming now to what these names teach us, the lessons that we learn from these names, first and foremost, Allah's Qudra is not something difficult to establish. The Qudra of Allah is not something difficult to prove for anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so anyone who believes in the existence of God believes that He is the all-powerful, omnipotent, which is a quality, an attribute that is used to describe Allah in almost all religions. And so anyone who believes that all that is in existence was created by a creator, they must believe that this creator is described as having limitless power and ability that is indescribable, that is beyond any power of any created being. And so Allah's Qudra is an attribute of Allah's very essence and His very being. It is because of who Allah is. So you don't need anyone to come and tell you that Allah is the most powerful. It's something that you could logically deduce. Although, we, as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what do we say when it comes to Allah's names and attributes? We don't rely on logic independently. So we're not allowed to attribute to Allah something that He has not attributed to Himself, simply from our own intellect. But when you come down to it, this is an attribute of Allah that can be deduced by logically. The second lesson that we learn from these names is that believing in these names of Allah, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, should make you to resort to Allah, to turn to Him for all of your needs, putting your trust and tawakkul in Allah alone. And that is because He alone is the all-powerful, the all-capable over everything, and nothing is impossible for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for created beings, as for created beings, no matter how powerful they are, in the end of the day, their power and their ability is limited. And created beings are described as being incapable, as being powerless at times. You know, even the most powerful and mighty of people, there comes a time when they are described as being incapable of doing certain things and being powerless. And also, not to forget that they are prone to death. They are prone to death. Whereas that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why would you rely on the powerless created beings when you could rely on the most powerful creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith. He says, I was young and I was sitting behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his riding camel. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya ghulam, احفظ الله يحفظك. O young one, be mindful of Allah and He will protect you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah and you shall find Him in front of you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. And anytime you ask for anything, ask Allah. Anytime you ask for anything, ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And anytime that you seek help from Allah. Golden pieces of advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ingraining within this young companion these meanings of being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not being connected to the creation. Being connected to Allah and not being connected to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to our needs and necessities. Also, what do we find in the dua of istikhara? Istikhara is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do when we're uncertain of something. And the reason for our uncertainty is our inability, our powerless nature, and our lack of knowledge of the future. So in the dua of istikhara, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions two qualities of Allah, and they are al-qudra and al-ilm. And so what is the dua of istikhara? Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I seek your counsel, I consult you through your knowledge. I consult you through your knowledge. وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And I seek your strength, I seek strength and power through your strength, through your power. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you from your great bounty. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. For indeed you are capable and I am incapable. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. And you know and I don't know. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the knower of everything, the knower of the unseen, of the hidden things. So here, in this dua, you are basically acknowledging your powerless nature while affirming the power and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you're consulting Allah, that, oh Allah, help me to make the right decision based on your knowledge and based on your power. So once again, what do we find here? To connect ourselves with Allah because of this attribute of Qudra, because of his attribute of power and ability. The third lesson, believing in these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps in warding off certain ailments and illnesses of the heart. And so there are many illnesses of the heart, many diseases of the heart. Among them is hatred and hasad, envy. When you see that Allah has blessed someone with something and you end up having this envy in your heart, and this leads you to hatred for that person and wanting to strip him of that blessing so that you could have it for yourself. And so once you understand that Allah is Al-Qadir and Allah is Al-Qadir and Allah is Al-Muqtadir, you will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given those people what He has given. It is He who has given it to them, not that they attained it on their own. It's not something that they strove so hard to get and they achieved it on their own, but rather it was Allah who gave it to them. Once you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave it to them, you understand Allah is the one who decreed it for them. Coming back to Al-Qadr, it is Allah who decreed it for them based on His knowledge, based on His wisdom, based on His will. So you leave it to Allah. You say, Alhamdulillah for what I have. Allah has written for me to have what I have, and Allah has written for them to have what they have. And this is why it is said that the envier is عَدُو نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ, that he is the enemy of Allah's blessings upon His servants. The one who envies what others have, in reality he is an enemy of the blessings of Allah that Allah has bestowed upon His servants. The fourth lesson that we learn is that one who believes in these names must believe that not only physical, material things are as a result of Allah's Qudra, Allah's power and ability, like this world that we see around us, the universe and this earth and everything that we see, it's not just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all these things and therefore it points to His Qudra, but also Allah's Qudra also means Him subhanahu wa ta'ala giving non-material things, abstract things, like guidance and iman and taqwa. So Allah has the power to do that. And He has the power to allow others to go astray. He is the one who causes certain people to be guided, and He is the one who causes others to go astray. And this all comes under the Qadr of Allah once again. Going back to the Qadr of Allah. Like we said, part of Allah's Qadr is to believe that whatever happens, it happens as a result of Allah's will. And so it is Allah who decides who will be guided and who will not be guided. It is Allah who decides who will die a mu'min and who will die a kafir. This does not mean that we human beings are forced into a certain state, therefore we should not be held accountable for our sins or our misguidance. No, Allah wills and He has also given us free will. He has also given us free will. But in the end of the day, it all goes back to the will of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You do not will except that Allah has also willed. The point here is that this understanding should lead us to be content with the decree of Allah and not allow us to object or question. Why is it that some people have been guided and others have not been guided? Once you understand that it all goes back to the will of Allah, you'll be content. And this is something that Allah reminds His own Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of. When he had willed it, he had this burning will to have his uncle Abu Talib to be guided. Until his very last breath on his deathbed, he came to him and he told him to say the shahada. He didn't say it. And he died as a mushrik. And it was difficult for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You do not guide whom you love. It's not up to you. It's not in your hands, but rather, it is Allah who guides whom He wills. Notice how Allah connects guidance to His will. It's as a result of the will of Allah. Allah is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this. So how about the rest of us? The fifth lesson that we learn is that believing in these names also helps us to deal with the age-old problem known as the problem of evil or suffering, which has led many to doubt the existence of Allah. And especially non-Muslims who leave their religions, this is one of the leading causes of atheism. One of the leading causes of atheism is trying to understand how could there exist an all-powerful and all-merciful God, and yet there exists evil and suffering? Shouldn't the mercy and the power of God prevent that evil and suffering? And, you know, this is one of the doubts that the atheists try to spread among us, to make us to waver in our iman. And so a person who believes in these names of Allah, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, they will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not incapable, He is not powerless to remove evil or suffering, but rather He just didn't will for it to be removed. We mentioned this already. It's not because of His inability, but it's simply because He didn't will for it. He simply did not will or wish for it to be removed. Now, why did He not will for it to be removed? This is due to His other attributes, like His knowledge and His wisdom, His hikmah. And this is why it is extremely important for the Muslim to educate himself on the names and attributes of Allah, and to have a holistic view of the names and attributes of Allah, and not to just stick to certain names and attributes of Allah while ignoring others. A person who will only focus on Allah's rahmah, His mercy, and Him being the most kind, and he forgets that Allah is also the most wise, and the most knowledgeable, then yes, this will be an issue for him. But once you understand that Allah is the most wise and the most knowledgeable, you will understand that whatever Allah does, whatever He decides, whatever He wills, it's not because He intends evil. And it's not because of inability. And it's not because of something sinister. But rather, it's for something good. There's always a greater good in it. And so our answer to this so-called problem of evil is that Allah allows evil and suffering to exist, and He makes it actually a mercy for us. But the problem is that we can't see it. We can't see the wisdom of Allah in it. We don't see the mercy of Allah in it. But it's there. And that's why, as the ulama, they say that there is no such thing as 100% evil from all perspectives. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he really expounds on this point in his book addressing the hikmah of Allah and His knowledge, why He does what He does. And so he mentions there's no such thing as 100% evil. And so he says even Iblis and his creation is not 100% evil. There was good in it. If evil did not exist, if Iblis did not exist, we wouldn't be able to distinguish between good and evil. There would be no meaning to Allah being the all-forgiving if we never sinned, if we never fell into evil. Likewise, suffering. If Allah did not make us suffer and we lived a comfortable life, we would never turn to Him. We would never turn to Him. So, coming back to the point that we have to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes holistically and not just focus on one or two and forget about the others. Finally, the last point I wanted to mention, when it comes to the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, the atheists, they will raise a question, they will pose this question to make us doubt the existence of Allah by trying to pose a contradiction between Allah's will and His power. So what is the question that they ask? What is the famous question that they ask? Can God create a rock so big that He cannot lift? So how do we answer this question? Why do they ask this question? Because they say, if God is the all-powerful, and at the same time, He can do whatever He wants, then can He create a rock so big that He cannot lift? So they try to say here, there's a contradiction. So we answer this by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِرٍ, that He is capable of doing everything and anything without exception. There's no exception to that. He can do everything. We affirm this. So He can make a rock, or anything for that matter, that is so large and so heavy that nothing in this created universe can move it or lift it. Yes, He could do that. But with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moving it, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the universe to begin with. He does not resemble His creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. And so He is never subject to the laws of the creation. Allah is not subject to the laws of His creation, because He is both the creator and the lawgiver. He not only created the physical creation, but He also set laws in place. Certain things are heavy, certain things are light. You have the law of gravity. if you go up, you have to come down. Who created these laws? Allah created them. But Allah is not subject to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to them. You cannot say that, you know, Allah is subject, for example, to the law of gravity. He is not a part of His creation in order for you to pose such a question in the first place. He simply says, kun fayakun. He simply says, be and it is. And He is not a part of that. He is not a part of that process of creation or making laws or abiding by laws. We could also add to this that to conform between Allah's will and His power, it is against Allah's very nature and being to will something that is contradictory. So this question doesn't make sense to begin with, because it goes against who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the first place. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not will such a thing in the first place. You know, if your question is, can God create a rock so heavy that He cannot lift? Allah would never will something in the first place like that, because He is the all-knowledgeable and the all-wise, not because He is unable to will such a thing. Not because He is unable to will such a thing. That's what they're trying to confuse you with. They're trying to say He's capable of doing everything and willing everything. We say this goes against who He is. He wouldn't will such a thing in the first place. And so this is how we can answer this question very easily. And so these are the three names we want to discuss tonight, inshallah. Next week we'll move on to another set of names from the most beautiful names of Allah, Asma'ullah al-Husna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those who learn this knowledge of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and then help us to implement it in our lives. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله 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 الله.